friendship in John 15. Oh, dear gracious Father, again, we just say thank you, Lord, for this time we have together, Lord, to glorify your name, Lord. Lord, I just pray that all hearts be open and receptive to your message, to your spirit, Lord God. May lives be changed here this morning. Lord, I ask that you anoint this, thy servant. Let me step aside this morning and take over. We just love you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friendship, John 15. Two men were out hunting in northern U.S. Suddenly, one yelled and the other looked up to see a grizzly bear charging them. The first started to frantically put on his tennis shoes, and his friend anxiously asked, "Why are you doing that? You know that you can't outrun a grizzly bear." "I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear," the friend says. "I'll have to outrun you." There are different levels of friendship. We have people in our life who are acquaintances, with people in our, that we like, but only see once in a while, usually at functions. There are those we are closer to, closer friends, who we get together on occasions. We may not see them too often, but our level of conversation goes beyond small talk. These are the people we have shared interests or experiences with, people of whom we are compatible. C.S. Lewis said, "Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to the other, 'Wait, you too? I thought I was the only one.'" Then we have close friends with whom we talk to regularly. We are, have a more intimate relationship with these people. We may have shared some secrets or our personal stuff with them. Usually, one doesn't have too many really friends that they call close friends. Then we have the best friend. This is the one who knows us best. This is the person we feel comfortable telling anything to. This is the one person we feel that is our closest companion. Today I'm going to talk about friendship. In the scriptures in John 15, we're reading verses 13 through 15, it says, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." The word friend is from Germany. It's origin from Germany. It exists in the English language since its founding in Old English. Back then, friend existed as freund, which was a present participle of the verb to love. The root verb was free, which means to like or to love or be affectionate to. The word friend literally translates to the one we love. And that's what we need to understand what friendship means, because I think that we have taken this word and we have twisted it so much in the modern language. We have twisted it so much in our modern vocabulary. We have twisted it so much in just everyday life. We say, "This person is my friend, that person is my friend." I want to tell you, you probably have very, very few friends in your life. Very few people that you can trust with anything. Very few people that are going to reciprocate that trust and that love. Friend means to love, the one that we love. So how should we choose our friends? Well, we choose them very carefully. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." There's only one letter separating friend from fiend. Sometimes it seems like there's a fine line in differentiating between the two. Sometimes it doesn't take much to turn a friend into a fiend. That can be because of who we decide to call friends. Proverbs 22:24-25 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man. For with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." Being a friend to someone who has an anger problem puts us at risk. We will have problems and there will be conflicts. that other people drag us into as we associate with angry people. For my whole life, prior to accepting Christ, I had people in my life that were angry. Angry people. I was an angry person. And together we became fire. Together we became worse and more angry. To the point of where the society did not want this anymore. It's a good thing that they got rid of us because we were getting bad with our anger and with our attitudes and with our everything we had going on in our life. The Proverbs is saying, don't make friends with an angry person. Don't make friends with somebody who's going to lead you astray or add to what we already have going on. Because I can guarantee you right here in this small group of people, we have some angry individuals here now. We have some people whose anger has rose up like a volcano in our life. But I tell you, if you pick somebody who's just like you, you both are going to feed into each other's anger. And it's going to be a raging fire before you know it. We need to have people in our life that is going to add to our life, not take away. Anger takes away from our life. Do we have friends and do we have people in our life that add to it? And not add to the problems, but add to the serenity and add to the quality of life that we have. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. That's a good part opening from Paul on these. And for those who are in Bible studies, we're going to be getting to this in a few more weeks. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Do not be misled. And as he's talking to the church of Corinth, he's also talking to all of us here this morning. Don't be misled. Those people of bad morals and bad character that you allow in your life will corrupt you. They will corrupt our life. If you're seeking sobriety and you're hanging around people who are using, you're going to end up using. Or the whole world's going to think you are. You know, it doesn't matter if you're doing good, but if you're hanging around people who are doing bad, guess what? You're doing bad by association. That's just how it works. And I hate to be the one to tell you all this, but it looks bad. And we can't have those kind of things. We've got to avoid any semblance evil in our life. We've got to avoid anything that looks bad. So we've got to be careful who we even allow in our life. Who we allow in our house. Who we get in a car with. Because those are the people who are going to lead you astray. Who are going to end up getting you in trouble. Because bad company corrupts good character. It doesn't matter how good you're doing. If you have somebody that you're constantly around in your life, they are going to eventually corrupt what you're trying to do. It's true. I've seen it many times in my own life. I'm trying my best to do good, and somebody shows up and with a bottle of booze, or somebody shows up with something else, and boom, I'm off again. I think about my good friend, Rob. Rob I've known for many years. We were really tight. He's doing well now. He's still crazy, but that's mentally illness. He went to treatment once. I remember this. We were drinking. We were just enamored with just alcoholism. I was standing for days just drinking, making pyramids of beer cans in our living room. It was just a horrible time of alcoholism. Rob says, I can't do this no more, and he went to treatment. He got up, walked out, went to treatment. So the bad company that I am, I go to treatment to visit him, and while there I tell him that I have a half gallon of whiskey in the car, come with me. And I talked him into leaving treatment. I talked him into coming with me. And next thing I know, we're both in prison together in the same house in Western Missouri Correctional Center. Rob had a chance, and because he chose bad company, which was me at that time, I corrupt what he was trying to do. And I'm going to tell you, we all have people in our life that will do that to you. If you're trying to do something good and you allow these people in your life, it's going to destroy it. It's going to corrupt what you're trying to do. And they're going to try to talk you out of doing the good stuff. They're going to try to talk you into doing what they're doing. And it's almost impossible to do it the other way around. We have to separate ourselves. We also have to look out for fair weather friends. Fair weather friends are people who will hang around you when things are good. They'll hang around you when you have plenty of money. They'll hang around you when there's no chaos going on. They'll hang out with you when there's no warrants being issued. They'll hang out with you when everything's just sunny and fair weather. But when times get tough and things get hard, they're nowhere to be seen. I had people that said that they were my brothers. I had people say that they were my friends. But when things got tough, they were gone. And I was left holding the bag. Those are not the kind of people we want in our life. We're the kind of people who are going to stick through thick or thin. I mean, talk about storms or shiny weather. A friend doesn't abandon us during our times of troubles. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friends. This is wisdom of Solomon. Wealth makes many friends. We have everything going on. We have a lot of people in our lives, don't we? I mean, when I had money and I had a place to live and I had plenty of booze, plenty of drugs, I had all kinds of people wanting to be my buddies. But when things got bad and I would find myself in a holding cell, they didn't want to have anything to do with me. Socrates says, be slow to fall into friendship, but when thou art to be continued firm and constant, be slow to fall into friendship. It's time when you have something in your life to check them out, to look if they're any good, to be careful what they're doing. If you see them in meetings, I'm going to tell you, not everybody in meetings are sober, just so you guys understand what's going on. Not everybody in this community that's on probation parole is doing good. Not everybody sitting in church is a Christian. We have to be very careful of who we allow in our life. A friendship is too valuable to be entered into lightly. We need to show care when choosing friends. We need to choose friends without compromising Christ. Deuteronomy 13:6-8 says, if your brother, the son of your mother, the son of your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who has your own soul secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers are the gods of the people, which are all around you, near you, or far away from you, from the end of the earth to the other end of the earth. You shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall you I pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. But what Deuteronomy is saying, if your friend, if this person, if it's your brother, if it's your mother, if it's your wife, if it's someone in your life is enticing you to do wrong things, those aren't your friends. Those aren't good people in your life. If you have somebody in your life enticing you or saying it's okay to do immoral things, those are not good people. Maybe you're the one saying it to somebody else. Then you're not a good friend either. That's just how it is. And believe me, I've done those things many times and I was not a good friend. I was a horrible person. And nobody had any right to ever call me friend because I was not. We shouldn't entertain friendship with somebody who tries to compromise our devotion. We shouldn't entertain friendship with somebody who tries to get us to do wrong things. We shouldn't compromise our devotion to God for anyone. Even if our best friend tries to do so, we should distance ourselves. And as hard as that would be, even in relationships, I've seen so many relationships in the last so many years as I've been in ministry, that they should not be together. They were terrible people together. They were enticing people to enticing each other to do wrong things. I know as hard as it is to leave that relationship, we have to. We have to distance ourselves. Some friends may turn on us when we devote our life to Jesus, but we have to be willing to lose friendships in order to stay true. We have to be willing to let those people go of our lives if we want to do something different with it. Psalms 119:63. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who will follow your precepts. This is talking about God. You should be careful to make sure we are friends with those who follow God. We should carefully choose friends who are going to on the same path we are on. You know, when I first got sober, they talked about getting a sponsor. And I heard, I've been to treatment 32 times. I've been going to treatment since the 80s. And all the times I was in treatment, everybody said, oh, I get somebody who I can relate to. Somebody I can relate to. Then I got out and finally chose a sponsor. And I thought, man, if I got somebody I relate to, we'd both be dead. We'd both be terrible because I'm a terrible individual. I needed somebody who wasn't a terrible individual to help me. We can't compromise Christ. Benjamin Franklin said, be slow in choosing a friend and slower in changing one. This means to carefully, to be careful with your friends you choose. And don't be so quick to act like them because you might steer you wrong. Number two, how can we identify with a good friend? A good friend is a good find. If you can find someone in your life that's a good friend, you have found something. You have found treasure. You have found gold. You have found something more valuable than anything else that you can have in your life. A good friend is a good find. Developing a positive friendship are the crowning jewels in your life. Someone once said, a friend is a present you give yourself. A friend is a present that you give yourself. And you know what? I'm not going to give myself a snake. I'm not going to give myself something that's going to damage my life, going to destroy my marriage, going to destroy my life. That's not the kind of present I want to give me. I want somebody in my life who's going to add to it in a good, positive way. So how can we tell if we have a good friend? A good friend is concerned about your well-being. When Paul was a prisoner, he was put on a ship headed to Rome to appear before Caesar. They made a stop in Sidon. In Acts 27, verse 3, and the next day we landed in Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. Friends, look out for your well-being when they are willing to help provide for their needs and they're able to reciprocate. We got people in our lives I know who want to use us. We got people in our life that want nothing but to use us. But when you need something in their life, they're usually not around, are they? If they need $20, they'll ask you, but if you need 20 bucks, they're nowhere to be seen. Those aren't friends. Those aren't people in our life that we want. A good friend adds to our life. See, a good friend eases your burdens. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone, he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is the verse that me and Chris used for our wedding. Two. I married my best friend that day. She adds to my life. She adds to what I am. She doesn't distract. She doesn't take away. She adds to. When I come home, I can feel the love of my wife. She says that she loves me, and I believe her. She's not a fair-weather friend because we went through some horrible times with parents dying, went through some horrible times with illnesses, went through some horrible times in our life, and she's still there. She's my friend. She adds to my life. She doesn't take away from anything. She adds to who I am. That's what it means to have a best friend. Someone once said a friend is someone who multiplies joy, divides grief, and whose honesty is unbreakable. In Galatians 6:2 it says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, to bear each other's burdens. A friends bear each other's burdens so we don't have to carry the weight that we carry alone. It's hard to pack all that stuff on your own shoulders. It's hard to carry all those things on our own. But when you have friends and true people who care about you, they will join beside you and they will help you carry those things. They will be a part of your life. They will be burden bearers. And in turn, you will help them and bear their burdens. And together, as we unite in the life of Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ, no burden is too heavy for anyone who is in the church. For those who have friends, no burden is too heavy. when Jesus sent out the apostles, he sent them out, and he sent them out two by two. He did it the same way when he sent out 12 disciples. There were reasons for that. One of them was undoubtedly to build friendships, where there would be a mutual encouragement and edification. Edification means to lift up, be mutual, lifting up. They would share ideas and sharpen one another. They would ease each other's tension as they were embarking on their first solo adventures without their friend Jesus by their side. Having another on the journey combats any loneliness and fear. There will be laughter and joy. Having a good friend to count on will ease your burden. Will not add another burden to your life. And I'm sure you know what I mean. I'm sure we have those people that has added burdens to our life, not distracted us from them. A good friend will tell you what you need to hear. Not always what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. A good friend won't say you're doing well when you're not. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds from a friend. Faithful is when a friend tells you that something's going on in your life. Tells you when that person you're dating is not good for you. Tells you when you're on the wrong path. That is a good friend. Not the kisses of an enemy. Oh, you're doing so great, and kiss you on the cheek when you're doing terrible. A good friend will tell you what you need to hear. A good friend will help you in those areas. It's a good thing too. The friend who loves us the most is the one who is willing to offend you in order to convey the truth. It shows that they are more concerned with you changing for the better than you liking them. I know that's a hard thing to say because a lot of people want to be liked. We want to be liked. But a good friend will challenge that. A good friend will tell you the truth. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Being sharpened causes friction. At the end, it's worth it because it's sharp. When somebody in your life is helping you through life and telling you the things you need to hear, we get sharp. And we're able to cut through all the things of life. We're able to cut through anything in life that's not true. And we're able to move forward in life. Proverbs 27:9 says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. And the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Springs from his earnest counsel is willing to tell you the truth. If we accept that we need to hear and act upon wise counsel, it will bring joy to our life. And a good friend won't betray you. I know a lot of us have been betrayed by people we thought were our friends. We have been betrayed in relationships. We have been betrayed by one person or another through our entire life to the fact that we're probably gun-shy to even allow somebody into our life. A good friend will not betray you. I was not a good friend when I coaxed my friend out of treatment. I betrayed him. I betrayed him so he would continue to drink with me. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Talk about the coming of Jesus. There is one who sticks closer than anybody you'll ever see. One who gave his life up for us. We can have a lot of companions, but very few truly who are friends. Some of the people we think of our friends are simply acquaintances. We need to re-identify. We need to take a look at the people we are calling our friends. Are they just acquaintances? Are they people we know? Are they truly good friends? A true good friend is somebody that you can invest into. There's a test in order to help us find out who our true friends are. It's when we are in need, who is our helper and who blows us off? When adversity strikes, who runs away and who stays? Someone said, a real friend is the one who walks in when everyone else walks out. I find out who my true friends and my real friends are when I quit drinking. But some people who we think are our friends just betray us. Judas betrayed Jesus for money. Job had three so-called friends, and they all turned and lashed against him. But we can rest assured that even if everyone deserts us, we have one true friend who will never let us down. One true friend who will always stick with us. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus will never leave or forsake you. In order to have a good friend, we need to be good friends. When choosing a friend, we need to be sure that we are ready to be a good friend. Are you ready to invest in this relationship? Are you ready to invest in this life with another person? Are you ready to invest in friendship? If the answer is no, then you have no business being friends with that person, because you are going to be the fair weather friend. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the only way to have friends is to be one. So how can we be good friends? In this book, The Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale listed some rules for becoming the kind of person with whom others enjoy being around. And here are some of them. Number one, learn to remember names. I believe this one goes a long way with people. Learn to remember names. Acquire a quality of relaxed easygoingness that things don't irritate you so quickly and easy. Have you been around somebody that just irritates you all to get out? Even your friends, they can just irritate you. Even your loved ones can just irritate you. We need to be careful of those things. We need to enjoy, relax. We need to learn how to relax instead of being irritated all the time. Don't be egotistical. Guard yourself against giving the impression that you know it all. It's time for us to be humble. Sincerely attempt to heal on an honest Christian basis. Every misunderstanding you have had and now have, drain off your grievances. It's time to forgive. It's time to forgive. And it's time to move on. It's time to attempt to heal those relationships. And I'm not saying we have to be friends with everybody, but we can heal past relationships and past hurts. We can heal with our children. We can heal with our grandchildren. We can heal with our spouses. We can heal with our moms and dads. We can heal with those around us. I'm not saying that we have to have any vitamin in our life anymore, but I'm saying that we can heal those things so there's no resentment anymore between either one of you. We need to practice liking people. When I got out of prison, I was going to a counseling. They were talking about my antisocial behavior. And I said, how can I get over this antisocialness? I don't like being around people. I get so I can't be in crowds. I don't like people. They said, well, first thing you need to do is be around people and then like it. It didn't make much sense, but I started going down to open mic night at Java Jive and listening to music and start talking to people. Start involving myself with talking to people. And by talking to people, I was able to learn how to start liking people once again and start allowing people in my life. We need to never miss an opportunity to say a word of encouragement upon anyone's achievement or express sympathy in sorrow or disappointment. Never miss the opportunity to encourage those around you. Never miss an opportunity to lift somebody up, because it's easy to find the faults. But let's look for the encouragements. Proverbs 17:17 starts out by saying that a friend loves at all times. Now, if we're going to be a good friend, we need to be ready to show love. That's what Jesus did. That's the kind of friend he is to us. Rodney Dangerfield. You guys know Rodney Dangerfield? I don't get no respect. Yeah. Once I told my old man, nobody likes me. And he said, don't say that. Everyone hasn't met you yet. I don't get no respect. Jesus taught us about friendship. Let me read these verses again. 13 through 15. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants. It is a servant does not know what his master is doing, For I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. A true friend makes sacrifices. Jesus made a sacrifice. Not for himself, but for you. For us. Verse 13 is to be taken figuratively as well as literally. Laying down my life for my friends means that I am willing to make sacrifices for them. Friends will sacrifice their time, their desires, their resources to help friends. I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm not talking about those people we know. I'm talking about friends. They are willing to be there for their friends when it's inconvenient. Then there's always the ultimate sacrifice that Christ showed on the cross. Many years ago in Canada, a young man, his wife and two children, and another young man were pursued by a large pack of angry wolves. When they're about to be overtaken, they shot some of the wolves. They stopped the wolf for a short time while they devoured the dead ones. Again, about to be overtaken, they cut the lead horse of the three-horse team. The wolves pounced upon this horse and devoured him. The people were trying to reach a place of safety, but before they could do that, the wolves were upon them. The young man who was with the other man, the young man said to his family, "The only hope is for me to give myself to the wolves." Then he immediately leaped from the vehicle into the pack of wolves. And of course he was devoured immediately. Just as they reached the place of safety, the wolves were upon him again. But the family rushed in and was safe. They could scarcely rest. They said, "Our friend gave himself for us. We are living because he is dead." Jesus laid down his life for his friends. He became a servant to others. And in the end, he laid down his life and died so you can live. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. And Jesus proved that on the cross. A true friend is devoted. We can't use this. Jesus uses criteria in verse 14 regarding his servants. If we are true friends of Jesus, then we have accepted him as commands. We have connected ourselves with him, and we are surrounded by his wisdom and guidance. We have denounced being a friend to the world, and we have chosen to be friends to Jesus instead. A true friend is devoted, and a true friend of Christ is devoted to Christ. James 4:4 says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" That means enemy. Do you not know that a friendship with the world means that you're an enemy to God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If we want to live in sin, we are a friend of the world. We can't be a friend of the world and a friend to God. We either be devoted and a friend to Jesus or devoted to the flesh. It doesn't work any other way. This doesn't mean that you will never sin, but that we will have a true friend in Jesus. James 2:23 says that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous, as he was called God's friend. Abraham was God's friend because he believed in him, and he obeyed him. A true friend is personal, as we see in verse 15. This doesn't mean that we are no longer servants. Jesus is saying that we are not just servants. Because if we were servants, we wouldn't know what the Father was doing. We wouldn't know what anybody else was doing. Jesus said, "You are my friends because I have told you everything. I have made my life known. I have developed an intimate relationship with you." Think of this for a second. A servant doesn't have that intimate relationship with the master. A servant doesn't have that intimacy with the one he serves. But a friend does. Jesus said, "You are my friends." We have that intimate relationship. He shares his infinite wisdom with us. This is wonderful because of intimacy. It's a perfect relationship, not just a master-servant relationship. Jesus wants us to know him. He wasn't just teaching. He was also commanding. He was sharing. He was transparent. Jesus had 12 close companions. with whom he shared intimacy with. He laughed with him. He cried with him. He loved with him. A master just doesn't have that kind of love for his servants. Jesus loves us because we are much more than servants. We are friends. Here's a poem by Charles Henson Town called Around the Corner. Around the corner, I have a friend in this great city that has no end. Yet days go by, the weeks rush on, and before I know it, a year is gone, and I never see my friend's face. For life is swift and terrible race. He knows I like him just as well as in the days when I rang his bell and he rang mine. We were younger then, and now we are busy, tired men. Tired of playing foolish games, tired of trying to make a name. Tomorrow I will say, I will call on Jim just to show him that I was thinking of him. But tomorrow comes and tomorrow goes, and the distance becomes us grow and grow. Because the corner, yet mile away. Here's a telegram, sir. Jim died today. And that's what we get and deserve in the end. Around the corner, vanishes a friend. If there's somebody in your heart today that you haven't spoken to in a while, maybe a true friend from your past or long ago, maybe it's a family member that you used to have such a great relationship with, a cousin, a sister, a brother, somebody in your life that you haven't talked to in a while, why not connect with them again? Is there a friendship that's been damaged? Why not seek to mend it today? Perhaps your friendship with Jesus isn't what it could be. Let's commit to strengthen our friendship with others, and especially with our Savior, Jesus Christ. If I can get everyone to stand.